If you're enjoying the Teas Made podcast, I would love for you to check out my blog, which is also called The Teas Made. We're doing something called the So Slow Book Club, where I'm writing about the same book all year long, and I'm writing regular essays on everything from sending kids to college to why and what I'm loving creating in the kitchen these days. When you subscribe for free, you'll get my posts in your email inbox, or you can jump in on the conversation over at my page. I also have some optional goodies for paid subscribers that you're going to want to check out too. Spring is here, and I have a long list of topics I'm planning to cover. Everything from updated skincare recommendations to some recipes for fun spring-themed beverages. Come join the conversation about connection and creativity at theteasmade.com. Hi, friend. You're listening to the Teas Made podcast, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm Megan Francis, a writer and a midlife mom of five living in Michigan. In this podcast, we'll talk about some of my favorite things like books, creativity, outdoor adventure, and of course, warm beverages. And I'll share practices that can help you infuse your home, work, and family life with a sense of intention, comfort, and connection. The tea's made, so settle in, get comfortable, and let's chat. Hello there. Happy Thursday and happy new episode day. Well, we're having a spring-like week here in Michigan, and it's really got me feeling energized. I hope you're experiencing a touch of spring too, wherever you are. Well, before I dive into today's topic, I just want to say thank you for some of the lovely messages I've been getting about last week's episode and my subsequent Substack post. It explains a little bit more about my faith journey, how I came to find the church where I gave that talk from last week, and what was happening in my life at that time. So you can find that post and also the video where you can watch the whole talk at meganfrancis.substack.com. That's Megan with two A's if you're interested. Okay, I'm sitting here having my cup of Gorge Sunrise black tea. It's an English breakfast blend from Good Medicine Tea. That is one of my favorite small tea companies. I know I've talked about Gorge Sunrise on here before, but it's been a while. So I will drop a link in the show notes and you can check them out as well. If you use the code TEASMADE, you'll get a nice discount at checkout too. So make sure to go check out Good Medicine Tea. Okay, so let's get into today's topic. And that is what's been happening in my kitchen lately. There's been quite a lot happening in my kitchen lately, but it's not necessarily about meal planning or making dinner, or the typical mom kitchen stuff you might expect. And that's all great stuff. I do a lot of that sort of thing. I do a lot of cooking for my family, and that's often a big focus for me. But lately, I've been doing some things that are a little less typical, at least for myself, and it's been really fun. And I want to point out that a lot of the things I'm going to be sharing today, actually most of the things, are things I'm doing for myself and not necessarily for my family, although my family also benefits from them too in some cases. This is really an episode about kitchen exploration for me, and maybe you'll take some inspiration from that and make your kitchen a little more fun for you. If you've known me since the olden days, you might remember that my very first podcast was called The Kitchen Hour. And the entire purpose of this podcast was to keep moms company while they were in the kitchen. That was 12 years ago when I had a house full of young kids and my kitchen skills were still sort of being developed in fits and starts. And I think at that point, I realized that the only way I was going to get more comfortable with cooking and the only way getting those nightly meals pulled together was going to feel less like a chore was if I just committed to spending time in the kitchen. I had to be in there experimenting with new recipes and techniques and ingredients and also keeping it clean and organized so that it felt like a pleasurable place to be, so that it really felt like my place. You know, up until then, I think I was often sort of taken off guard by the fact that dinner time had rolled around again and I wasn't prepared for it. And it took me some time, but also some intentionality to create space for myself and my calendar and my routine, but also literal space to become comfortable in the kitchen. And a big part of that for me was listening to podcasts. This is when podcasting was still relatively new, but I found a few that I loved, most of which aren't around anymore. But they really kept me company as I was developing those rhythms and skills that helped me become someone who not only really likes to cook, but actually who finds a lot of creative pleasure in being in the kitchen. The great thing now is my kids have grown, and as that's happened and my time has opened up, being in the kitchen has become a thing I can do for myself as much as I do it for them. So no matter where you are right now with your level of comfort or interest in the kitchen, maybe you can just take a little page from this book, from some of the things I'm going to share today, because it really does feel a lot like play. Okay, so I'm going to start with something that might seem a little bit out there. A lot of you already know I love to make oatmeal in my rice cooker, and I had already started soaking the oats overnight quite a while ago. I had read that it actually helps make them easier to digest, easier on your stomach, easier to absorb the nutrients. But recently, I decided to take this a step further, and I've started fermenting my morning oatmeal. So I got this idea from a podcast that I've become a little bit obsessed with. It's called Ancestral Kitchen, and it's two moms who talk about eating more ancestrally. And I suppose there's multiple ways to define that. But to me, it means the way people would have eaten 100 or more years ago, before ingredients were so processed, before farming had become industrialized. There was just a lot of differences in the actual foods people were eating back then, not just which foods, but how they were preparing them. So fermenting has been a big part of the human diet for thousands and thousands of years. And I've really never thought of myself as someone who was very into fermented foods. I don't love pickles. I'm not into briny foods. I'm not into like really vinegary tastes. But the Ancestral Kitchen podcast has gotten me thinking very differently about fermentation and its place and the place it can hold in our overall health and the way we prepare our foods. So one of the hosts of the podcast is very into oats, and specifically how oats would have been eaten throughout time. And she shared that fermenting oats can make the nutrients more accessible to your body. And really, that's true of all grains. But this episode I'm referencing was all about oats, and I specifically eat a lot of oats, so I decided to give it a try. So I've been fermenting my oats with plain yogurt for the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks. And I gotta say, I've gotten kind of hooked on it. I do mine still in the rice cooker. So what I do is I preheat the rice cooker so that it's a little bit warm. That'll give the yogurt a little bit of a better chance to start fermenting. I just mix in the oats and the water with whatever else I'd be adding anyway. And for me, that's usually cinnamon, ground flax, collagen powder, usually maple syrup for sweetener, and a dash of salt. Then I add a couple tablespoons of yogurt and kind of stir it in really good with a whisk to get it all broken up. And then you put it in a warm place and leave it overnight or longer. I actually try to do it the minute I clean out the rice cooker after breakfast, because then it has a little bit longer to start the fermentation process. But sometimes I forget until evening, and that's okay too. I don't stress about it. Then the next morning I run the rice cooker, and at the last minute I add berries, a sprinkle of chopped up pecans, and a splash of milk, and then I eat. And I have to say, the fermentation process gives the oats this really interesting tangy flavor. I do feel like I get full sooner and I stay full longer. So it's really yummy. And from what I read, I think the yogurt method might be kind of beginner level. If I want to crank up the effects, I could use something like sourdough starter or kombucha. I have not tried that yet. Maybe I won't. I'm not sure. But for now, I am really loving this being my morning routine. It's kind of digging into a bowl of fermented oats. This idea also inspired me to want to try fermenting some other foods. And if you're also like me, and when you think about fermented foods, your mind goes right to something really vinegary or pickles or kimchi or something. Actually, there's a lot of foods that traditionally would have been fermented that aren't those foods. So this is something we've already experimented with a little bit in our house. Last year, Eric and I tried to make homemade wine with wild grapes we found on our property. It did not work, but it did turn into some really delicious vinegar. We now have a ton of that. Eric also makes a lot of kombucha. Sometimes I like that. Sometimes I don't love it so much, but listening to Ancestral Kitchen gave me a wild hair to try fermenting sourdough bread or cheese or yogurt. So here's what I've tried so far. I bought some cultures from an online supplier called Yemous, Y-E-M-O-O-S, and I used it to make a traditional Finnish yogurt called Viili, that's V-I-I-L-I, and it turned out great. It is very mild. It's kind of runny, so it's not that thick, creamy texture like you might be used to with a Greek yogurt, but it's also not as tangy. It's very sort of non-offensive. If you don't love the strong, sour taste of a Greek yogurt, especially a plain yogurt, I think that this Vila yogurt is really easy to eat plain. I'm just really proud that I made it. It was very easy to make. It's pretty forgiving too. I didn't have to babysit it super closely. And now that it's kind of ready to go, it's just in my fridge waiting to be eaten. And I've got a starter in there waiting to be eaten so that I can do my next batch out on the countertop. So that was really fun and a success. But at the same time, I also tried to make a sourdough starter and it was a fail. I don't know if it just wasn't warm enough in my kitchen, so the starter never really took off. Maybe I got the proportions wrong, or maybe I didn't feed it often enough. I really don't know what happened. I ended up dumping it and I'm going to try again. And this time I think I'm going to consult some step-by-step resources. They have some at Ancestral Kitchen's website. I'm going to go check those out. I would really love to be able to make a good sourdough bread. And I know that once you get it going, for a lot of people, it's just part of their daily routine. I think for me, it was like, I just couldn't get the routine going. And it occurred to me that the way most of us live in our kitchens really does make that mindset or those routines hard to get started on. Because even though I work from home, so technically I'm in my house, I could wander into my kitchen at any moment to feed a sourdough starter. But then I just don't think to, because I'm more in this modern mindset that I want to be able to walk into my kitchen at any moment, press a button and have it work for me more or less instantly. And not all foods can be created that way. Some things just take more time. I also didn't realize that so many of the sourdough breads you see at the supermarket really aren't sourdough at all in the traditional way. They've got additives that give them a sour taste. So, you know, there's no shame in eating the thing that's readily available to you or that you like or that you're able to pull off quickly with the time that you've got. But I just think it's so empowering when we really understand how our food is made and what's in it. It really makes me appreciate like a great loaf of bread from a baker so much more. And I'm pretty motivated to figure out how to do this myself. So anyway, that's a win on the yogurt, a fail so far on the sourdough. Gonna give it another shot. And then one more thing I'm planning to try, but it's just taking me a while to get started. I want to make a traditional Finnish cheese called leipä juusto, or bread cheese. It's a soft, squeaky cheese, like it actually squeaks on your teeth, that I've had in Finnish restaurants in the UP, but it's not a curd because it's baked into like a pie-shaped loaf that you slice. And the recipe isn't really that complicated at face value, but I'm very intimidated. I haven't gone there yet. Maybe when I'm done recording this, I will feel inspired to go give it a shot. And then if I do, I'll update you in the next episode. Okay, friends, you have already heard me talk about my new Uptown loafers from our sponsor, Vionic. I love these versatile, classic, and comfy slip-on shoes, and the Uptown loafer is part of the Vionic Vitals collection, which is what I want to tell you about today. Vionic Vitals contains some of Vionic's most versatile daily styles. So if you've been curious about Vionic but are overwhelmed by all the choices, start with the Vitals collection first. The Willa Flat was my very first Vionic style, and I have been in love with it for years. I'm also eyeballing the Chardonnay heeled sandal for summer date nights. Like all of Vionic's footwear, the shoes in the Vionic Vitals line are super comfortable, stable, and supportive with Vionic's exclusive VioMotion technology. Go to vionicshoes.com/vitals to find the Vitals collection and use the code TEASEMADE at checkout for 15% off your entire order, plus free shipping when you log into your account. That code is good for a one-time use only, so be sure to make the most of it. That's TEASEMADE, TEASEMADE, for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com. Okay, let's talk about something a little bit less out there, and that's just circling back to beans. You might remember that I set a 2024 resolution to eat more beans, and I actually did a special bonus episode behind the paywall at my Substack, specifically all about the different ways I've been preparing the beans, how I've been soaking them, simmering them, and all of that. But I'm just going to quickly report back here and say I'm still eating a lot of beans pretty much every day. And what I'm finding interesting is that now that I've been doing this for a couple of months, I still have some bean-focused recipes in the rotation, but I'm also just incorporating beans into everything now. So I might sub beans in for noodles, in chicken soup. I've served pasta sauce over beans instead of pasta. I will make a couple over medium eggs and put them on a bed of beans and veggies or beans and greens. I'll throw them in a salad or mix them up with some veggies and make a little side or a little hash. Now I understand how to go through the soaking process and the simmering process. And so it just doesn't take me much time or thought. I almost always have a bowl of beans soaking overnight, and I almost always have a batch in my fridge to just do whatever I want with. And they're so versatile. So it's been a great little experiment for me. And so far, easily my favorite recipe is just Great Northern beans with garlic, lemon, spinach, and salt, and either a little oil or a little butter, and then fresh rosemary when I have it. It comes together so fast. It is so yummy. But sometimes I just take those Great Northern beans and throw them in something else. So all of these kitchen rhythms I'm talking about kind of leads me to another thing that's been happening in my kitchen lately. And that's that we've been cooking almost all our own meals and eating out very little lately. And part of that sort of stemmed from a financial decision. We decided, Eric and I, that our restaurant spending was just kind of didn't make a lot of sense for some of our other goals and how much actual pleasure we were getting out of eating at restaurants. So we started toning that down. And then another part is that I've been focusing on my diet and my nutrition. I have some specific weight loss goals I'll talk a little more about later. Definitely not going to focus too much on those in this episode. But for me, it's just been really hard to eat out regularly without going completely off the rails nutrition-wise, because I love a bread basket. I love fries. And there's nothing wrong with those things. I definitely don't want to go to restaurants and feel like I can't enjoy eating at the restaurant, right? But at home, I'm really happy eating in a much more restrained and sort of formulaic way. So for now, it was just easier to mostly eat at home and then have one meal out every week where I just don't worry about anything. I don't worry about the budget and I don't worry about my nutrition really. But here's the thing that's happened. As we've been eating out less and less, and like dramatically less, I'm starting to find that it's just not the experience I was hoping for a lot of the time. And I say that as someone who loves my restaurant owner friends. I want restaurants to succeed, but also I'm finding I'd rather just save up and go out for a really nice meal once in a while than to do that sort of thing where I'm reactively eating out at restaurants that aren't that great because I'm just used to going out, which definitely happens, or because I don't have anything to eat at home and it feels easier. And it's funny how sometimes when you disrupt a habit for a little while, maybe to meet a really specific goal, you can start to see the holes in how you developed that habit in the first place. You see more clearly whether that habit actually serves you the way you thought it did. And for me, I'm starting to realize that if I'm already in the routine of being in my kitchen playing, and I've created time and space and energy for that, and I'm not in the habit of looking outside my home for convenience or fun, then I can see a little more clearly how eating at home can be fun. And it can be convenient and it can be less expensive than going out. And on the flip side, I can kind of see how sometimes going out isn't that convenient or isn't that fun or isn't that high quality of an experience or doesn't help me meet my financial goals or my health goals. So it's just like a little mindset shift. It accidentally happened to me while I was busy working on other things, but it was really helpful, I have to say. And right now, I would say it's very easy for me to eat at home most of the time because I'm differently motivated than I might have been a couple months ago. Okay, friends, I got my pair of Uptown loafers from our sponsor, Vionic, and I just had to tell you about them. They're cute and classic and really lightweight, and they do actually pack flat. I am definitely going to be taking these on all my spring travels, and I can see myself wearing them with everything from jeans and trousers to dresses and maybe a little later on shorts. I got them in camel leather, but they come in 12 different colors. The Uptown Loafer is part of the Vionic Vitals collection, which features some of their most versatile daily styles. And of course, you know you can count on your Vionics to be super comfortable, stable, and supportive. Use code TEASEMADE at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That code's good for a one-time use only at vionicshoes.com, and again, you're going to get 15% off your entire order. I'll also have a link to that offer on my shop page, and you can find that in the show notes. Again, the code is TEASEMADE, TEASEMADE, at vionicshoes.com. Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet. So this is a good place for me to get a little more into that health journey I mentioned. I had a doctor's appointment in January, kind of a routine thing, but I hadn't been in since 2022. And I found that I had gained a surprising amount of weight since the last time I'd been to the doctor. So since then, I have been tracking my food and my movement using an app. I'm not going to name the app here. I don't want to seem like I'm promoting it. I know that food tracking, weight loss topics can be really touchy. So here's what I'll say. I'm personally not someone who struggles with hypervigilance around food or like control issues around food. Actually, sort of the opposite. I can be very mindless and I almost have amnesia around what I'm eating or how much I'm moving, especially when I'm busy or overwhelmed, which I have been lately. And for me, it can be really helpful to track because it puts me in touch with reality and I can see cause and effect. So I could see when I started looking at my movement, how much less I had been moving over the last several months. And when I started tracking my food, I kind of started to get the idea that, oh, maybe this snack is really more habit than actually something I want to eat. So for me, tracking for a while can be really helpful. And I'm realizing I'm very routine oriented around food. I can either use that to my advantage or it can become a disadvantage because once I'm in a routine, for better or worse, I will stick to it unless I actively try to disrupt it. So that might mean eating at the same time every day, whether I'm hungry or not, or like reaching for the same foods or the same portion sizes, even if I don't feel like I need them. I can really go into autopilot with that sort of thing. So it's been really helpful for me to pay closer attention. And it also helped me realize that I more like to find something I'm really interested in and then drill down and get really into the nitty-gritty details around it. And that means maybe developing like these skills I'm talking about in baking or fermenting. I'm really into the idea of doing that so that I can do even more of what I'm already enjoying doing, not necessarily so I can jump around and do a whole bunch of new things. So that's all I'm going to say about that journey. The point of this episode is definitely not food tracking or weight loss or anything like that, but I just wanted to share that being really present and thoughtful about what I'm eating and how I'm eating it, and then setting aside that time to get real with myself about how and what I'm eating can be a way of showing up for myself in the kitchen. And so I just wanted to mention it here because I think it's relevant. Okay, one more thing to mention in today's episode, and this is something I teased last week. I bought a tea plant, a Camellia sinensis plant, and I made my own tea. Now, I realize this is taking my hobby of tea to sort of a silly level, considering I live in Michigan and tea plants aren't really supposed to grow here. But I got curious and I Googled it, and I found that tea plants actually can survive in this climate if they are sheltered. And they also can grow in pots. So I went online and I bought a mature tea plant, mature meaning it's ready to harvest. And it showed up a couple of weeks ago. It's living in our dining room right now, right off the back door, until it's warm enough consistently to be outside. It'll be a little while yet. But I was able to harvest some leaves and I made tea from them. I made an oolong tea and a black tea. And you know, they were just okay. I have some learning to do. I think the leaves I harvested maybe were a bit older and tougher than is ideal. So I'm going to be tending this little tree as the new leaves grow. And maybe I'll get a really good cup of tea out of it at some point. It's super fun to try. And I'm also looking forward to getting back out and foraging for herbs this spring so I can make some herbal blends. That is something I really got into doing last year. Was so fun and I learned a lot and I can't wait to start again this year. Okay, friends, it's been really fun detailing some things that have been going on in my kitchen lately. And it also inspired me to keep experimenting. So I would encourage you to identify an area of your life that you would like to give some attention to and then just go play. And I think it's also really valuable to then take a moment every now and then, like I did today, several moments, to just take stock of what you've already been doing. I know for myself, I often get really busy just keeping up with life and then things kind of happen and I move forward and I don't always take the time to recognize the areas where I've made progress or I've learned something new. So maybe there's an area of your life where you're already experimenting or growing or would like to start experimenting or growing and you're just doing a lot more than you're giving yourself credit for. I would love to hear about it. You can email me, meganfrancis@gmail.com. That's meganfrancis@gmail.com. Or look me up on Substack. That's where I'm mostly hanging out these days. And you can interact with me there by sending a direct message. They have that on Substack now, or leaving a comment on a post. I would love to hear from you.
That's all for this episode of The Teas Made. You can find links to the products and other things we talked about today in the show notes for this episode. You can find that by scrolling down below the episode in your podcast app, or you can go to theteasmade.com and find all the episodes, plus resources, links to my favorite teas and books and other products, and so much more. I share new episodes every Thursday, so please follow or subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And while you're in your podcast app, I would love if you'd leave a rating or review. It really helps me out so much. Okay, friends, that's all for now. I will talk to you again very soon. If you're enjoying the Teas Made podcast, I would love for you to check out my blog, which is also called The Teas Made. We're doing something called the So Slow Book Club, where I'm writing about the same book all year long. And I'm writing regular essays on everything from sending kids to college to why and what I'm loving creating in the kitchen these days. When you subscribe for free, you'll get my posts in your email inbox, or you can jump in on the conversation over at my page. I also have some optional goodies for paid subscribers that you're going to want to check out too. Spring is here, and I have a long list of topics I'm planning to cover. Everything from updated skincare recommendations to some recipes for fun spring-themed beverages. Come join the conversation about connection and creativity at theteasmade.com.